Square Podcast. I am DJ A-Ron alongside my brother Cornbread. Antonio, first of all, how are you doing? How's everything going with you, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I think for the listeners out there, this might be, I think, our 48th, 49th interview. And I get excited every time because we have some great content coming your way today. We have a friend to the show, a friend of the friend to Northside Hospital. You know what I'm saying? So we appreciate that connection there. But today we got a special guest, DJ, and that's my guy, Joe Engel, man. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How are y'all doing? I appreciate y'all having me.
Amazing, man. No problem. Great to have you.
What we always do before we get into the spicy talk, you know, we would like you to introduce yourself and let the people know a little bit about you before we get started, sir.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, I got to start off since you start on bucket list. I mean, as you can see behind me, huge Georgia fan. Okay. So, I'm, you know, we've already got the back to back. I'm hoping my bucket list is to watch a three-peat. So we bleed red and black out here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But no, but I'm got an awesome wife, been married for 15 years. We have a great blended family of six kids, five boys and one girl. And she's my pride and joy. She's as I say, she'll get mad at me, but she's the one from outer space because, man, girls are way different than boys.
I mean, Tell me, oldest or youngest?
She is right in the middle. Smack dab in the middle. So she gets it on both sides, you know. But no, I work for a great company. I've been with the same company for 10 years. I'm in sales and work with the automotive industry. And just, man, we have a great time around the house and stuff like that. So it's a great time of year. Thanksgiving's coming up and we have a lot to be thankful for.
All right.
So you mentioned you work for the automotive business. As you know, there was a lot of strikes and everything this year.
Correct.
A lot of stuff going on.
Correct.
Did that affect you? And if so, can you explain? And if not, what were your thoughts on, you know, what was going on?
You know, it did affect us a little bit. I'm on the other side, if you will. I worked for a couple of dealerships years and years ago. So we supply the automotive industry with services, basically, differential fluid, fuel injection cleaners, things like that. It did affect us because obviously when customers are taking their vehicles in, they can't get parts.
Right.
So, you know, we felt that hit because people aren't going in or their cars just sit there. But we get through it. You know, we've been blessed and we just figured out a way to get through it.
Nice.
Don't really have an opinion on it. It's just, hey, man, it's part of life.
It's part of life.
There's your curveball and you figure it out. You know?
I like that. So, Joe, you know, it is a stressful time for some people, exciting time for some people. I think they just came out with loneliness is like a real epidemic or, you know what I'm saying? It's a problem with, you know, people being lonely, especially around the holidays, with all the stresses and stuff like that. So I know you wanted to come on here and just discuss some things, obviously, that you and the family and everything are going through. And hopefully our listeners out there, we reached, you know, old age, young age, boy, girl, doesn't matter. We reached a whole demographic. So I know people can learn from your journey. So if you mind telling us, I guess, you know, why you wanted to come on the podcast and say these words or whatever's going on with you and your family and education, sir.
Sure, man. I appreciate that. So obviously I said we have six kids. We lost one about 3 years ago to mental health and suicide. My son's name was Jackson. He was 16 years old, had him for just awesome 16 years. Had some signs, you know, from him having some mental health issues prior to us losing him. But I was able to speak to a high school about a month ago. Man, it was amazing how this high school did a mental health week, because it's something that I fortunately, but unfortunately, had to realize it's a real thing. You said something about being lonely, man. It's mental health is tough, man. And, I firmly believe, and I'm, hey, a little embarrassed to say this, 5 years ago, if you said, what is mental health? I'd have just said that person was weak. You know, I didn't know any better. I wasn't educated. Now moving, you know, through the things I've gone through and seeing what my son's gone through, seeing what I go through still, you know, after losing my son, which I'll get back to that. But I just feel like in America right now, mental health is so high on the spectrum, but yet it's the hardest thing to get help with right now. Going back to my son, we lost him, like I said, 3 years ago. Unfortunately, you know, now my family is left with the, I don't even know what the word is, the void in our lives to having to, you know, bury our own son. We've had a great support system with friends and family and things like that. But I just want to get the word out, man. It's, you know, I know I'm rambling a little bit, but it's such a tough topic to obviously speak on. But, you know, losing a son and losing him that way was extremely tough on my family. All the other kids talk about it some, not as much as I feel like they should. But I think the biggest thing is, man, people have to get help. That's something that, you know, I don't know what y'all have gone through. I don't know everything I've gone through. But I want people to understand it's our motto is it's okay to not be okay, you know, because it's part of life. The cool thing, my wife is my rock, and her and I were sitting around after my son passed and realizing all the great things he had done through his friends. We didn't know. It is like, as much as we like to say Jackson was an angel, which he is now, but on earth he was not an angel. He was, you know, the kid that kept getting in trouble and doing crazy things and you know, stuff like that. But then when you lose a kid, man, all these other kids were reaching out to us, crying and needing help at the time. So we came up with a foundation for a couple years called JR Semicolon. And that's really, really big for me because my son's name was Jackson Royce Engel. But we did the I, or the semicolon, it looks like an I to represent his name. So when you drive around Cumming, Georgia, or Atlanta, or even some other states, we did t-shirts and stickers to remind people if they see that logo, hey man, it's okay to not be okay. And what that stands for, even though it's Jackson Royce Engel, it stands for just relax and pause. You know, we have that moment where, man, okay, I can't get through this. Well, just take that break for a second and take that deep breath and let's get through this. So we were having meetings with all the kids and just, man, you know, first month, all they want to do is cry and talk about Jackson. But then we started really, really getting into, you know, the mental part of it. And all these kids would just break down and cry because they're going through things, you know, that their parents may not know about. So just mental health is tough, man.
Thank you, Joe. So before we even get started, I want to make sure, because you were breaking up a little bit. Are you connected to the Wi-Fi and stuff? Because this is some great information. I don't want to lose translation.
Give me
stuff.
1 second. Let me try to jump on it real fast. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
Sorry.
Yeah, problem.
We definitely, you know, about to unpack this.
Yeah, definitely. A-Square podcast to the people that are out there. Please click the link. It'll be in the description. A-SquarePodcast.com. This will also be on all of our streaming platforms and whatnot. We have our guy Joe Engel with us today. And we're talking about mental health, and we're talking about, you know, just a little bit of everything. And we wanted to dive into, you know, as much as we can. So for those people that are out there, if you are tuned in, if you can comment, if you can send questions or whatever you have, we'll try to, you know, get everything to you guys. So once again, thank you, Joe, for joining us and, you know, giving us, you know, all the information and everything. Antonio, what you got?
Yeah. So, Joe, so let's try to unpack some of the things, you know, that obviously that your family's going through, or, you know, sure. I don't want to speculate on your son or maybe what he would have went through. Right. So I have one kid, right. And he's 10. So he's going to grow up, for future, probably going to be a single kid. Right. I know Aaron has went, you know, he has two kids, but they're so spread out. It seems like they're single kids. So
yeah, it is.
Do you think, I guess, let's say looking back as a parent, or maybe even some of his siblings said this, did you guys see any signs? Did he say anything that kind of tipped it off? Or did you tell that he was, let's say, mad or disgruntled, or he just wanted to leave Earth or anything like that?
Oh, man. Yes to all the above. Okay. and I don't mind sharing some pretty deep things that happened if it can help somebody.
Yeah.
My son, I would say a year prior to him losing his life, actually told us that he was going to do that. Told us the exact way he did it. And it's one of those things you want to believe it, but you don't want to believe it. So obviously we were talking earlier, I've got a little bit of a blended family. So he had come to live with us. He was having, you know, just a tough time in life, failing every single thing and this, that, and the other. And he ended up coming to live with us for a couple of years. And man, he was playing football, making great grades, making good decisions. And then all of a sudden just took a tough turn in life. I got the phone call one night, you know, that he had passed away. And then a couple of days later, you know, you don't want to ask how, but you want to know as a parent. And it was the exact same way he told us he would do it.
Okay. That's tough. So what's the grieving process you've seen so far? Like you hear that your son has committed suicide, right? Do the police mm-hmm. come and do an investigation? Is it, do you have guilt? How does your, you know, does that turmoil come between you and your wife or you being a parent of other kids now? Cause you might be more protective now. They might say they want to go to McDonald's and you're like, no, you good. You know, you're going to stay in this house so I can watch you. So just tell us through that process after the fact.
Okay. So when he passed away, he was not at our house. He was at my ex-wife's house at the time. But yes, I mean, obviously the cops are there. Yes, they do investigations. I am now I don't want to call myself the helicopter dad, but man, I was already strict because that's the way my dad raised me. You know, my curfews growing up was my grade. So ninth grade, I had to be home at 9 o'clock all the way up to, you know, being a senior at 12, which my kids aren't going to like that. That's going to be on them as well. It's just, hey, that's what pops told me to do, you know? I mean, the grieving part, man, that's a hard part, man. You know, there's days I wake up 3 years later and you go through, you're sad. One day you're mad. You know, there's times, if I'm being honest, I get mad at him sometimes, man. I don't get to hug him. You know, I don't get to see where he would be right now. So the grief process is the hardest part that I deal with now just because he's not here. I mean, you know, so there's some days that you don't really feel it. It's, you know, you're getting along really well. You're driving along the road and you see something, or he's got this one hat that he wore 24/7. And when I see that hat, it gets you, man. It gets you. It's a black hat with the Nike white swoosh. That even one of my 13-year-old identical twin boys wears now, but it hits us, that heart, man. It hits you hard.
One of the things that, I can say that I appreciate you saying on this podcast today is that you've spoken out and you've talked to young people and you've gotten, you've gotten the feelings from them about how they feel about him. And then, you know, that process of the grieving from them and then how they feel. I want to ask you, how did you gather the courage, right? Because the courage to get up and to speak to young people. How did you gather that courage to do that? Because there's so many people that some people don't even want to talk about it. Some people don't even want to, you know, I kind of look at my grandmother as sometimes who lost, you know, children, you know, and I speak to her about it. And even though, you know, they may have been older, she still looks at them like they're babies, no matter what, you know, no matter what it is. And I was like, would you like to visit, you know, the grave site or whatever? And she can't do it. And so there are different types of people that grieve differently. Was this a part of like the grieving process to you? Or how are you able to gather that courage to do that?
I don't know if it was so much the grieving process. I looked at it as if I can help one person that's struggling at that time, to not commit suicide, just to be blunt about it. That's what I wanted to do. I felt like I spoke at Lambert High School about a month and a half ago. And really, man, on the drive there that morning, I just remember like it was yesterday. I'm driving down the road and I'm saying a prayer that I can just talk without crying, you know, like the ugly crying, not, you know, a tear here and there.
Yeah.
I'm talking, you know, obviously like Georgia, I said earlier, you know, I love them. When we lost Alabama in overtime, you know, I'm out there just crying on the back porch, ugly crying. Yeah. I wanted to get through it to help somebody. And man, we did two sessions because it was two different times. And it was a voluntary thing for kids to come in. And I had a little slideshow, this, that, and the other. And we have a tree that's planted at the high school. And it wasn't planned. It just happened. And I look out the window and I can literally see that tree that represents in memory of my son while I'm talking. And then as I'm speaking to these kids, and I show a picture of my son's grave. And it's something that I really, really thought hard and long about getting that personal for me. But then I thought, you know, there are a lot of people in this world that talk about suicide. I'm going to kill myself. But they don't really know what that end game is. It's final. So I guess to answer that story of all the rambling, it was more of a, okay, I've lost my son. I have to accept that. But I'm going to put myself second, and I'm going to do it through him. If someone can learn from what we've gone through and what my son did, then, man, it's worth my tears. You know, it is.
Understand. A-Square podcast listeners, we got Joe Engel on right now. He's discussing about some mental health issues and, you know, losing his son to suicide. So, Joe, did you say your son was 16 when he lost his life? So he'll be 19 now, or he was 13 and he'll be 16? He would be 19.
He would have been 19. Yeah, correct.
Okay. So, yeah. So how do you guys, let's say, celebrate his life, right? Do you guys do something on his birthday, or do you still have, let's say, I don't know, his room, or like, what's some things that you guys do to keep him around and everybody's spirits and upbeat and everything?
Yeah. Man, my son wore Jordans like they were nothing. So I've got his favorite pair of Jordans at my house. When we have Christmas or a dinner, sometimes we'll put him in a chair just to, you know, represent him being there. We've got a little spot in the house with his pictures and things. For his birthday, I drive to his gravesite. I just sit there for, you know, however long, and talk to him. I put a little cupcake on his gravesite.
Nice.
And, you know, just have that one-on-one time with him. And as I said, with the tree that we have at the high school just down the road, there's nights I drive by there on the way home and just sit there for a little while and just reflect, man, you know.
Understand.
But I talk about him all the time. I you know, I love the way my wife said it. She'll say, hey, you know, we have six kids. We don't say it's five because we'll always have six.
Right.
And if they ask her age, she always says we have one that's forever 16, you know.
For sure. For sure.
So.
We do have a question for you. Somebody asked, do you think COVID and isolation was a player in all of his mental health crisis?
Ooh, I do, man. I do. These kids, you know, we were talking earlier how you and I grew up. Man, I couldn't imagine having the things that these kids go through taken away from them.
Yeah.
You know, I remember a lot of the people that I know, kids were in college or high school, didn't get to finish their football or baseball season, didn't get to walk and graduate.
Crazy.
So, you know, these kids these days, I just feel like they have so much more on them. You know, as I told you earlier, I got 13-year-old twins. And, you know, look, I understand we all had to wear masks. We had to do certain things we didn't want to do. But, man, imagine being 10 years old at the time, being told, you know, hey, you can't go to school. You can't do this. You can't, you know, you couldn't see people's emotions for, what, a year? Because
yeah.
We all had masks on, you know. So, yeah, I feel like I don't know for sure, but I
might
feel
have
like
intensified. It might have intensified
right.
Feelings.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. Yeah.
I do
understand that.
Yeah. I've talked about that before on the podcast. Like I said, my son was he was in kindergarten. So he had his first full year of going to school. Right. And then first grade, second grade was COVID. So yeah. Third grade, he went to school. You know, everything's back open now. So he went to school third grade. So I asked him, hey, you know, how was school? How's all this? He was like, it's straight. You know, I was like, well, you haven't seen kids in forever. How was that? Yeah. He said, I said, how was the little kids? Because I'm thinking still, when he was in kindergarten, he was around new people and older people, right? So now I flip the tables on him. I'm like, okay, now you're the third grader. How was it being around younger kids, right? Second, first, kindergartner. He said, oh, they're kind of weird. I said, what do you mean they're kind of weird? He said, yeah, it's just they don't know how to. And it clicked. It's like because that's their first year going to school, right? So think of it, you're a second grader, and that's the first time you've been around anybody like that. So it makes sense. It can you know, change the trajectory of, let's say, how you interact with people, your life, or that definitely. Or bring that extra anxiety. So,
and it's like, correct. I think about that, you know, I asked my son the same thing like during that time. And I'm like, my son, he's 16 now. I'm thinking about during that time, I'm like, so how do you feel? You know, you're not going to school. You're not, you know, around a whole bunch of people, you know, so on and so forth. And he's like, they got FaceTime. We got FaceTime. We got PlayStation. You know, so it's like the times are different. But I'm like, yes, that's true, son. But the conversation that you have with people one-on-one in person is different than you have with somebody via camera phone, you know what I mean? And I think that now he understands that more because, like, you know, when I'm with my grandmother and I'm on FaceTime, he's like, I want to hug her. You know what I mean? That hug, that love, you know what I mean? Like, all those things play a key factor in all of this. So it's the A-Square podcast, guys. Again, if you guys are just joining us, we are talking about mental health. We have my guy, always Antonio, aka Cornbread. We have our guy Joe with us today. Antonio, what else you got for us, man?
I do. I got one more question for you, and then kind of something that I just thought about. So we'll go with the question first. So first off, people are hitting us up saying, hey, there are mental institutions or ways to give people help. And so with that, I would like to know, Joe, let's say there's a listener out there right now and their kid, boy or girl, just said, hey, I want to kill myself. Is there any advice if you could, let's say, redo it again or anything that you've seen or maybe talk to somebody and they gave you some advice now? Is there anything that you would say to the listener out there who might deal with this, you know, today, tomorrow, through the holidays or 5 years from now?
Sure. Well, don't take it lightly, first of all. You know, it's when I hear people say that now, because I get phone calls from other parents. Hey, my kid, you know, is going through this. Can you talk to my kid? Or, hey, my kid just told me they, you know, they want to kill themselves. What do I do? The first thing, don't take it lightly. They got to get help. You know, we had talked about my 13-year-olds. They went to a place called Summit Ridge. They had some tough times last year with bullying at school, started some self-harm and things like that because they didn't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So we had them get help at a place, outpatient. And you know, the thing is, they just went and talked about feelings. And I think that's the biggest thing, and maybe I skipped that, is A, don't take it lightly, but B, man, you got to talk to your kids. You know, there's coping strategies, there's dialogue that as either a parent or a friend that they got to reach out to somebody, man. I've got a, obviously I'm not going to say his name, but one of my best friends right now is going through some tough times. He's extremely depressed, doesn't know why, has a great life. And it's tough for me to talk to him because he has told me that, you know, he's had that thought of taking his own life. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a trigger. You know, it's hard for me to talk about that because I couldn't imagine losing another, you know, family member or a close friend to suicide. But, you know, the shirts Be Kind, man, that's my favorite shirt now because I don't know what you guys are going through, man. We're sitting here, we're talking. When we get off of this, you know, we might have to go and deal with something tough right now. However, if I know you're going through something and you come to me and say, Joe, man, I need help. We got to be there for each other, man. We got to be there for each other. We got to be there for our kids and our friends.
Appreciate it. And I wonder, does that trauma come from the trauma of like people not being able to be honest, like the brutal honest about what they're going through? I wonder why that's so hard for people to come out and talk about their feelings. Because I know what I was going through, you know, as a young person. When I was young, I would get frustrated with certain things. I'll be honest on this podcast, as I have before. I was always told, oh, you're going to get sent to the crazy house. If you keep acting like that, you're going to be crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was like it was beat in my head that if I spoke about my feelings and I spoke about certain things that I were feeling at the time or cared about, so on and so forth, that I would be deemed as crazy or I would get put on the crazy pills, you know, certain little things like that, because of, I think, the era, you know, that I came up in. I wonder if it's interesting to me. It's like, I wonder if there's something that we can provide to people, that we can talk to people. Like, it's like you said, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to talk to your friends. It's okay to vent your feelings, and it's okay to receive those feelings. That's why I can appreciate the fact when you say that you went and you spoke to younger people, and I applaud that, man, because that cannot be easy. It cannot be easy to do that.
Man, it's not. But, you know, and you hit it on the money, man. My dad, I'm 47 years old. Mm-hmm. My dad, I don't remember seeing him cry but maybe three times in my life. He taught me, you don't cry. You be tough. You do this. You do that. And then the older I've gotten and the things that I've dealt with, man, I'm the crier now. Like, I'll it's okay to cry. You know, I tell people that. Look, man, we're human.
Well, you're a Falcons fan, so yeah, I get it.
Don't do that. Antonio, don't do that. Don't do it.
It makes sense. What? I'm just telling them it makes sense. I'm just telling them it makes
sense. Cry after the Super Bowl. I cried after Georgia lost. but no, man, it's, you know, look, I'll share something very personal to me right now that I'm trying. I've always been against medicines. The crazy pills, if you will. I finally had to say, look, man, I need help. I can't do it on my own. So I just recently started taking, you know, some medicine through my doctor, seeing great results with it. And it takes that edge off that, look, I'm in sales, so I'm constantly going, you know.
Anxiety.
I'm that guy. Yeah, man. And anxiety is so tough on people. So I finally said, look, man, I'm going to go talk to somebody. I'll be honest, him and I were not a fit, but it was great for that 1 hour to see, hey, man, I can go out and talk to some stranger about what I'm going through, and he doesn't judge me. He just, hey, man, why don't you try coping this way, and why don't you try this method? And it was amazing. You know, I had about 2 months ago, I had a day I woke up, and it was one of those days where I missed my son. I was angry at the world. I didn't talk to my wife all day, and we were in the same room watching the Falcons. Probably another reason why I don't want to talk, but I just didn't say a word to her. And I wasn't mad at her, but she looked at me and she says, did I do something wrong? And I said, no, I'm having that day, you know, and we all have those days. I told the doctor that, and he looked at me and says, but you know what? You choose to have that day. And I thought, yes and no. You know, I didn't choose to wake up feeling this way. I didn't choose for my son to do what happened. But yes, you're right. It clicked. I am choosing this. So he said, look, go walk, take a deep breath, hence just relax and pause, and see if you can, you know, figure a way to feel better. You know, but man, I'm all about taking a medicine if you have to. I'm all about being kind, man, because we don't know what people are going through.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. First off, from the A-Square family, man, we want to commend your courage for coming on here and speaking truth to power, you know, and giving people out there, especially, like I said, especially around the holidays, this gets rough for people. You know, everyone doesn't have family to be around and receive that love, you know. So,
and like you said, Antonio, that's all of us. Yeah. That's all of from every generation. Again, I literally just like a few days ago, I had this conversation with my grandmother where she's showing pictures of her mom, her sister, and like everybody's gone from that, you know, from that generation.
Yeah.
But then as she sat down at, you know, my daughter's birthday party, she's sitting with her, my daughter's great grandparents, which is a part of her, that age group, and her grandparents that are there. She's like, this is a whole different thing. I've never seen nothing like this. And she was just grateful and just thinking like, you know, we're all going to go through this. She was like, it doesn't stop. It's just a matter of how you deal with it and how you move forward and keeping the people in your thoughts, because that's how we keep them alive.
So Joe, you know, each episode, I think this is, we'll make this 184. 185. So we'll make this episode 185.
Yes.
And we name episodes different names, right? So yeah. I think it only is fitting that, you know, we name this episode after your son, man. So
I agree.
Please, let us know. You know, obviously say your son's name again. And then if you got any contact, like, I don't know if you're on social media or email, whatever, so people can contact you, right? Because they might have more questions after that. So let us know.
So my son's name is Jackson Royce Engel. My email address, don't mind giving that. Of course, people are going to make fun of me. They're going to see how old I really am with this email address.
Don't do it.
Say AOL.
I was going to say, if you say AOL, I knew where you were going here.
Joseph Dial-Up 123.
Exactly.
What?
We're going back to podcast 184. It's my last name. It's Ingle. The number 2, the number 4 at Hotmail. So it's Engel 24 at Hotmail.
I'm not mad at that. I had a Hotmail.
Keyword had.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of those, man. Everybody knows it. I don't want to get away from it.
Come on now. Yeah, you never know.
If there is someone listening, man, all jokes aside, email me. I don't mind reaching out. Give me your phone number. How did I say this? When this all first happened, I had a gentleman reach out to me and said, look, you're part of a club that you don't want to be in. And I loved how he said this. He goes, it's not your responsibility to help, but it is. And man, that stuck with me. So if someone's out there going through something that they just feel is so big for them and they can't do it, send me an email tonight. I will call you tonight. I will talk to you. I'm here for you.
Awesome, man. We appreciate it, Joe. We appreciate you, man, from the A Square Podcast. You are a part of this family now, and anything that you do, but you know, whether it's community wise, whether whatever it is, we're going to be here to support you. The only thing that I cannot support is the Georgia Bulldogs, because listen.
Nice knowing y'all.
So listen, here's the crazy part. Earlier this summer, as a DJ for Illinois, we had 3 4-star recruits from Georgia and 2 from Florida. And I do not think we secured but one person. And it was not from Georgia. It was from Florida. And, you know, we're like the Falcons of college football.
Easy now. No, that's called Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That could be true, too. But I definitely appreciate you, man. We appreciate you for joining us and sharing your story and everything, man. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys, man.
And for the live listeners out there, we still going to go live. So Joe's about to drop off, and we still going to record our regular show. But we just want to give y'all that quick little nugget, like I said, before we hit the holiday season. So thank you again, Joe, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate you, man.
Have a great night. And I appreciate it. Well. Hey, I'm going to leave you with that right there. Good
I love it.
Y'all have a good night, man. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a good one.
Good Thanksgiving,
thank
Joe.
You as well.
Thanks, man.
You as well.
Bye-bye. See you, man. See you.
So, Antonio, what a great interview, man. What a great interview. What a great story. Information for those people that are listening out there right now, going through anything for the holiday season. I think we all are dealing with something. You know, when I was growing up, my house was filled with people. And now not so much. You know what I mean? Right. And I think that that's also just a part of life. And I think that, you know, our purpose in life is bigger than just everything is just all happy. It's big. It's about stories. You know, we're here to share our stories and our knowledge and our, you know, all of that, man. So, you know, it's just a part of life.
So, I agree. And it should be about giving. I mean, that's why, absolutely. To me, that's why Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
You know, it's about giving. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If it doesn't matter what it is, but somebody has less than, you know, that's why, you know, yeah. Especially to me, the Christmas and all the other stuff is either about celebrating, drinking, or spending money to buy gifts, or the pressure of that. This is come over, eat, sleep, watch football, go home. Right?
Like, that's a fact.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey. Yeah. And if that's the pressure that I got, you gonna put on me to invite me over for me to eat some cornbread? What? Tell me when. I'll be right there, dog. So I appreciate fact. That, man.
A Square Podcast. We are still here. We got y'all for a few more moments. A lot of big things going on, Antonio. Before we do anything crazy, let's talk about music, because you and I were sending messages back and forth about music once again. And I'm in a really good space, bro. I'm sorry. I keep saying this on this podcast. For as many times as we talk on this podcast about how terrible things that we don't like,
right?
There are so many great things that we do. Like last week, I shared Jeezy's project. I thought it was great. And I want to give a shout out, bro. Shout out to the Justice League.
Okay.
They are facts. Phenomenal producers, bro. Like it is. I feel like when I listen to the Justice League, bro, I feel like I'm in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I really do, like, facts. An orchestra. Like, I love that energy. I absolutely love it. And so shout out to them. Anytime people call them, I know that the production is going to be great. All y'all got to do is produce the bars, which Jeezy definitely delivered as a storytelling, everything. It was really great. But this week we got some surprises.
A lot of new music.
Antonio, I want you to talk about it, bro. What you got? What you like, what you didn't like, or if you didn't like something, what you think?
I want to talk about it in real life chronological order.
All right.
So had a busy weekend, my sister's weekend. So we're going to get into that a little bit. You know, I had a great, great weekend, right? So wake up one night, Drake dropped new six songs, smacking, right? Mm. Cool, I ain't have time to listen to it. Lil Wayne and Titty Boy.
Two Chainz.
Drop out. I'm like, bet, I got to listen to that. Cool. And then there's a guy who's in some people's top fives.
Yeah,
he has never dropped an album in life.
Yeah,
but he's in people's top five. The rules is different for people. I guess.
Okay, fair.
He drops an album, and it was what the type of album was, right? It was like, nah, this dude just playing.
He said what he said.
So
let's discuss.
Y'all know me. So cool. So it's a lot of new music out. Even Rick Ross and Meek Mill had an album out. So when I'm headed back to Atlanta. I'm like, dang, I got so much music, but this flight only like an hour
everything,
and 15, bro. 20 minutes, right?
So you cannot get through everything.
Let me download this Drake. Let me download this Lil Wayne. I said, but I got 20 minutes before we fly. Let me listen to that Andre. I said, because, hey, I can't cook it unless I listen to it, DJ.
True.
That's my rule.
True. That's true.
Right? I got it's. Hold on. Let me put this on Do Not Disturb again, because, okay.
They're coming out, man.
So 20 minutes to board. I got my son with me. Cool. Let me listen to it. Hit play. All right. You hear fairies and shit, right? I'm like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
My son is running around playing flip bottle with this in the airport. Just knocking people over. Just flipping. I said, hey, bro, what is you? Come here. Stop. You wilding, right? So I'm running, chasing him. The board people are boarding, they delaying, they calling people, all this. It's a lot of chaos in this 10 minutes, right? So I go back to my headphones. I'm like, is this the same song? I look at it. It says that song has one more minute left. It's already been 6 minutes. I said, oh, okay,
no, it's been 9 minutes.
Or 9 minutes, whatever it was, right?
9 minutes.
I said, let me go to the next track because this one's almost over and I'm tired of hearing the same thing. Cool. Yeah. Go to the next one. Son's still running around. We finally boarding, doing all this stuff, right? That's another five. You know, you've been to the airport. It takes a minute.
Yeah.
We was B. It's three, A, B, and C. We were B. So we waiting for them board again. And if, is this the same song? This is the same track. It said 8 minutes for that track. I said, hold on. I back out because I'm like, is the third track this long too? It said six songs. Is it six songs?
Yeah.
Six, seven
eight,
songs?
Eight.
Eight songs. An hour and 30 minute album. I said, ain't no way. Nope. I can't do it. So I only got through two songs. I'm not ever in life going back to listen to this, bro.
Let me tell you what it's like.
It's like watching Zelda to my video game fans out there.
Not
but your Zelda. TV doesn't work. But your TV doesn't work. So all is just putting out audio of Zelda running around with a knife and a flute and trying to go through levels. That's what this album sounds like. There's only one thing that he could have did to make this more interesting or better for me, my experience. Mm. Because I'm hearing 30 instruments, bro. So I'm like, bro, you ain't playing
true.
Instruments. I'm not a believer, bro. So if he would have had, to my instrument people out there or my musical fans, Snarky Puppy. If y'all don't know who that is, look that up. Look that group up on YouTube. Snarky Puppy. Phenomenal group. They videotape when they record, bro. So you get to see everything. So I would have liked for Andre to video record him doing this. So it makes it, first off, believable. Because I'm like, this shit's AI.
And maybe he did. And maybe he did.
I hope. I don't know. But I'm like, this shit's AI. And it's 30 instruments. You ain't play none of these. So that was my take on Andre, bro. And then I'll get to everything else.
All right, let me get to it.
Go ahead, bro.
So number one, I respect it.
Mm-hmm.
I respect it because he told us before the album came out, hey, I ain't got no bars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no bars for y'all. Like, I would love to play with y'all. I would love to, you know what I'm saying, make the music. I'm not in that musical space right now, but this is the musical space that I'm in. He is an artist, and he's been doing the flute stuff for a long time. So the producers and everything behind it is they're doing all the other instruments, right? Mm-hmm. And he's doing the flute stuff. I think I would have been upset if they had released a statement saying Andre is releasing an album. I'd have been like, oh my God, this is going to be, it's got to be top tier. Cause we all know he can rap like this.
Right. Facts.
He does not get on a track and deliver no garbage. It doesn't happen. Right. But he told us, this is where I'm at musically. I like this, and I'm going to drop this. Now, I understand everything you said, and I agree with what you say. Because when I first put it on, I'm like, bro, wait. This is like, I feel like I'm on an elevator that got stuck on the 84th floor.
We got
83 floors left to go.
And a kid hit all the buttons, so you got to stop at every one.
I got to stop at every floor. And not only that, but this is speed. So now it might just drop. I don't know what the fuck going on. I don't know what's going on, right? So, but he told us. So that's why I'm not mad. What I will say is I listened to a few of the songs, and for the people that are going out with any type of, I want to just chill, I want to relax, I want to clean the house, this album reminds me, it's not as good. Don't get me wrong. And I don't want to say it's not as good because it didn't marinate with me yet. But this is like Kenny G. It's like Kenny G. I remember my mom used to put Kenny G on and clean the house. And I'm like, Mom, ain't no words to none of this. What do you, I just stole West Side Connection from my uncles. Facts. Like, I need some lyrics. But she was like, no, that's not, like, this is different. This we going to get through the day with this. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated it. So okay. I appreciate the fact that he told us what it was beforehand. I would have been mad if he didn't.
Facts.
So if you listen to it and it wasn't for you, I can appreciate that as well.
Yeah, it's not for me. But I can't do it.
It's not for you.
I made it through two songs. I can't do it.
But I appreciate him saying that. Hey, this is what it was. And he stuck with it. He didn't play no games. It wasn't no Kanye shit. There wasn't no Doja shit. Like you say, people play games with all the stuff and then they really, no. Hey, this is how I, and he said in an interview, he said, hey, you want me to rap about a colonoscopy? Yeah. Like this, that's where I would be if I'm rapping. This is how I feel right now. So
yeah, but like I said, I mean, I want to see him play his instruments, and then I'll give him more credit. But
I also understand what you're saying when you say people put him in the top of the top, and he doesn't have the catalog to go with the top. Right. So for that, I would say let's take away the catalog and put the bars up there. Mm-hmm. Let maybe separate. If you can, you know what I'm saying? So
I get you. I get it.
Even if he ain't top five, shit.
Right. I get it though. But the other music that dropped, like I said, the Lil Wayne and Titty Boy. So that was good. It was about four or five tracks that I got on repeat from that.
Shout out to 21.
Yeah.
I don't, Antonio, you said on this very podcast, 21 be saying some stuff. And we might not get it right away, but he be talking.
21 be talking. I like 21.
And I didn't get it, bro. I said no, he's not. Yeah. I'm the guy that said no, that ain't it. Mm-hmm. Jay-Z said, no, I like him. You said no, 21 be, I said no. 21 be talking. When he say 21, I said no.
Yeah.
He was on it.
Yeah. No. So that was hot. And then Drake put out a 5-6 pack to his album. He said he did it in 5 days. So I respect it, bro. There's some good music out there, man. Seemed like you didn't like the music, DJ. What's going on, bro? Hey.
Antonio.
Hey, man.
It's up for them, bro. Up.
It's up.
I don't want to hear I'm putting everybody in this. You feel me? My favorite person, when they drop an album, I'm listening on site. I'm on deck. I'm pre-ordering whatever it is. Chris Brown, he come out with something, I'm ready to go. I got a couple of others. I'm not going to name, but a couple of others. If they come out with something, it's up. I'm with it. J. Cole's one of them. You know, I got it. I'm over the deluxes, bro. Stop. Okay. No, y'all are playing a game that I'm not playing. I'm not playing that game. These songs that was on that album, the extra songs, put that shit on what you put out, bro.
That's a fact.
Stop with this garbage. Stop putting out the throwaways and then being like, hey, yeah, but I got something else. I'm finna cook up for the streams.
And I felt that about the Lil Wayne thing, right? Remember I talked about that? Like, Lil Wayne is fire.
Yeah.
When he put out that album 2 weeks ago, I'm like, why? What? Yeah, I'm like, why, bro?
The warm up or whatever it was. Like that.
So yeah. I agree. I don't
like that. I don't like deluxes. I will not purchase or download a deluxe because I feel like you had that in the tuck already and you trying to scam your way to more streams, which I do understand. But at this point in streaming life, I would say, I don't understand because we understand that your streams are only getting you 0.2 cents of whatever it is. Yeah, and I do understand that people are not really buying the albums. So I do understand it, but at the same time, you got these bangers. You're going on tour. You cleaning up out here. It's not a secret. Put that on the album and stop making these 25 song albums. Make the 12 and put them 6 on the 12, bro.
I'm with you.
I don't like. And like I said, that goes across the board. So people out there, don't think that I'm like being like, oh yeah, you ain't got the same energy for such and such. No, I do. Chris Brown, same thing. 38 songs. Then you come out with a deluxe with 46 songs. No, I don't want that. I don't want it. Put your best 12 to 15 together and put it out. So for all the dogs, I get it. I totally get it. But I don't want no more deluxes, bro.
I'm with you.
I don't.
So there is some more entertainment news that happened this week, but we're going to get into that in a little bit because I want to discuss.
Yeah.
I told y'all last week, we finalized the top 5 of Person of the Year on the A-Square podcast. So I want to get into that, and give why someone close to me, is added to that list. Right.
So,
if this is the first time you've, listened to us, thank you. Welcome. Make sure y'all subscribe to asquarepodcast.com. And let us know if y'all want to be on the show too. Like I said, we bring it.
Everybody.
Average Joe's, right? Joe Engel just came on, man. And it was a great, everybody has a story, bro. So let us know if y'all got a great topic that we can discuss. So the top 5, DJ, for 2023, man. So we got my man, Alabama swimmer, right? We got him going to help, right?
Hey,
he was 16 years old or 15, something, whatever he was, but he was about that life. He makes the list. We got an individual who mom had cancer, and for 2 years he grew out his hair. And then when she started chemo, he cut off his hair so she could use that hair as a wig. So she'll never, you know, feel like she doesn't have her power anymore. Right. So he makes the list. We have an individual who was 16 in high school, got accepted to every
college,
high school in USA.
Every college. It was college.
Every
right?
college.
Every college. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was 16.
Yeah.
He got accepted to every college, man. So that makes the list. The one people was like, man, you tripping, but this is Cornbread's list too. So I don't care. My man, professional soccer player.
Facts.
His chick start tripping. Cut.
Hey, what'd he do?
She said, I want a divorce. I'm taking half. You know what he said, DJ?
Cool. Go ahead. They have nothing.
My man's put all of his assets in his mom's name, and
you
she
know what
gives
makes me mad about that,
bro.
You know what makes me
go
mad
ahead,
about
DJ,
that?
Tell me, bro.
Why can't Al Pacino and them know this shit, bro?
Yeah.
Al Pacino just got cooked off the Viagra, bro. You know
Tripping.
Why she's doing this. She
Tripping.
Finds you non-attractive, bro. There's
Facts.
Nothing about you that's attractive to her.
Facts.
And you ski it.
Yeah.
Don't do that, bro.
Yeah, so my man makes the list because when his girl took him to court, tried to get half of his asset, he didn't have nothing. He was broke.
Facts.
So matter of fact, she owed him money.
Facts.
She had more money than he did in the relationship. So he's got to make the list in my – that's one of the goldest men's – thing to do. That's go.
I agree.
All right. But unfortunately, something happened that's going to me, it's going to be my winner. And I would like to know
awesome.
Who y'all winners are for this Person of the Year in 2023 from the A Square Podcast. So
let's get it.
If you guys know me personally, I was this close, probably even closer, DJ, to losing my grandmother.
Right.
Right. Like I said, we talk about everything on this podcast, man. It is what it is. We've been family for almost 5 years, man. So this close to losing my grandmother. So I have to go back. Aaron helped me out. I had some other family, friends, loved ones help me out as well. So my sister's wedding was 3 weeks away. Right. So I'll having a conversation with different people, preparing for a funeral, making the arrangements, all these things. Right. Had a conversation with my sister. I said, hey, if grandma doesn't pass away in the next couple of days, it could be another week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month. We don't know, right? I said, but you got to think about, it is a possibility that she passes away around your funeral.
Right.
So we need to start thinking like that, right?
Around the wedding, mentally, around the wedding.
I'm sorry, around
yeah,
the
yeah.
wedding. I
yeah,
appreciate
yeah.
it. The funeral could
yeah,
be
yeah.
around the wedding, right? Or she
right.
could pass away. So I said, so we need to think about that. So it's And I don't want to have a funeral around your wedding because I don't want that anniversary to stick in your head, right?
It'll be an anniversary and an anniversary.
And it's sad, you know, and it's good and bad at the same time, right? And only you would be dealing with that, right? Because we will be dealing with the funeral and anniversary of her passing, but you'd be dealing with your wedding too. So I said, for emotional purposes, financial purposes, and just timing and everything, I would like, if she passes away, let's say a week before your wedding, I would like to have the funeral maybe 2 days after your wedding or something like that, right? So play around with the scenario that happened. I don't need an answer today. I don't need an answer tomorrow, but soon I need an answer. DJ, she calls me back on a Thursday. She said, hey, I talked it over with my soon-to-be husband, right? We discussed. We just going to get married tomorrow in front of grandma. I looked at my phone. I said, hold on, what? She said, yeah, we just going to go ahead and get married in front of grandma. And if we'll still have the wedding, but we're going to be officially married in front of grandma tomorrow. And I was flabbergasted, bro. Cause first off, I'm glad I didn't think of that scenario. Cause that takes the power away from them. But it's like, how kind that person is and her husband is to even think of something like that. People take time for granted, right? So yes. Friday came, her and her husband showed up. We had a great time. My grandma was there, took some pictures. So we still had the wedding, but that was kind of more of like a formality, you know, so they were married for the past 3 weeks. We tried to keep that in house in the family of not letting the public know. But to them, my sister and my new brother have to make that list, DJ. I can't ask for a better sister and brother-in-law, man.
That right there is amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it. I think that is amazing. I think that's dope.
Yep. Thank you to them. So that's the five. So y'all let us know who y'all vote. That's my vote, my sister. DJ, who you got, man, in those five, man?
I'm be honest, bro. I want to take somebody off your F-boy list, bro.
What?
I'm taking somebody off.
What?
I know.
I need to hear this.
No, it's bad, bro. It's not good, King. We not good, King.
It's not good.
We not good, King. I got to do it. I got to do it.
Okay. Right.
So you put somebody, and I was 100% on board with doing this. Mm-hmm. You put somebody on the F-boy list.
Right.
And I agreed. But then I said to myself, how can I agree with putting somebody on an F-boy or a F-list, if you will, mm-hmm. without knowing the full background of everything, without letting the courts of public opinion sway my opinion?
Okay. I'm
y'all finna kill me. I'm taking Jada Pinkett off of the list.
Impossible.
Bro.
Impossible. That's the one person who's already in the Hall of Fame. It can't. You can't undo the Hall of Fame, bro. Impossible. Go ahead and hang yourself, bro. Go ahead.
I know.
Say what you gotta say.
I know.
Can't do it. I'm listening.
I know. But I read the book, bro.
You read
I did, bro. I did. And the only reason why I did was because I said it has to be more. It can't be. I read Will's book on the way to Atlanta. I'm driving from home. I listened to his entire book. I said, I gotta see. It has to be more. It can't be what the media headline is putting us on, bro. It can't be. And I read the book, bro.
Okay. Educate me, man.
All right. Number one, I understand what it takes to sell a book. It's not easy to sell a book. It's not easy to sell a book from a publisher standpoint if you don't have some type of controversy. What I respect from the book is that she had the conversation with Will before the book came out.
That's what she said in the book.
That's what he said. It ain't just her. It's him, too. We got to stop. We got to stop being like, We gotta stop being like, oh, it's all her or all this person.
I feel you.
If we don't know the whole story.
I feel you. Okay.
The book ain't even about the headlines. That's why I'm saying we gotta take her off. Because the book is really about accountability.
Okay.
And it was about her accountability of what marriage really is and what the portrayal of marriage is. When we're growing up, we're taught the princess and the frog. We're taught, you get married and you live on forever and it's all beautiful and love and all these different things. What we're not taught is how to go through the trials and tribulations. And I think that there are a lot of marriages and relationships that actually, if we're being honest, could benefit from reading her book, because she took so much accountability in that book for her faults. And I, as a man, can appreciate that. That book didn't have shit to do with no Tupac, bro. It didn't. That was a small thing from two friends, you know what I'm saying, that had a level of the secret of it is that a lot of people think that you can't be a man and a woman and be friends, be real friends. It's a man and a woman. You can be friends, like, but somebody want to fuck somebody.
Like that.
And that's not true. But that's not true, though.
I mean, it's true to
that. That's not true. That's not true to everybody.
No. That's not true to everybody.
Some people can be mature and have like a real. I'll give you an example. I got a friend who's hella gay. She is the definition of LGBTQRPUPSUSPS. She is the definition of all of that, Antonio.
I gotta time this, bro.
No, I'm telling you, ain't no way. And that's on her end. And on my end, Antonio, ain't no way. Antonio, if I could be real on this podcast, I would be, but I know I can't because I know we getting canceled. There's no Antonio. Single and living, it'd be Adam and Eve living on two parts of the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's hilarious.
It could
bro.
Be. But
After
reading it, I can understand. My boggle with it is that it seemed on the outside like you were throwing somebody under the bus consistently. But after reading it, the part about him was so small that it really, in the whole scheme of things, it really didn't matter. Bro, she talked about parts in the book where she was going to kill herself based on certain circumstances that she was going through based on her family.
Mm-hmm.
And like after reading it, I'm like, okay, now I understand. And then after listening to her talk, interview after interview after interview, it was about, okay, this stuff did happen with me and him. This stuff did happen with me and Pac. But will the book have legs to go the distance for people to actually listen? And after I listened to it, now I understand that book is very deep, bro. And it's very and shout out to the people that are going through mental health and things like that, because there's a lot of things in that book that are very, very deep. And again, the only reason why I want to take her off is because I think that we put her in there based on the courts of public opinion.
No.
You can respond.
All right, so a couple things. So first off, I haven't listened to it, right? So this is based off of my opinion. And I don't like doing that because I want to listen now so I can cook her up even more. But it sounds like you have a case of Stockholm syndrome. That's what it sounds
like.
It does. It sounds like you listen to your captures and be like, yeah, you know what?
Now she didn't get me.
When you robbed that bank, I did understand why you did it.
You did.
That's what it sounds.
You had to do that shit. Your 10 minute soliloquy sounded like that, right?
That's what it sounded like to me in my ears.
You did have to rob that shit. No, you did have to rob that shit, right, though.
So first. Because
you have no, look, you had to rob it because you, hey, you had to take somebody's car and rob that bank based on
circumstances. Somebody says if I got my son's headphones on. Yeah, what you mean? He's Spider-Man's, though. Yeah, I got my son's headphones on. First off, you said people, marriages can learn from this, right? Let's say that's true. I don't know. I ain't never been married.
Okay,
so let's
go ahead.
Relationships, right? Okay, cool. So does the book teach you how to demasculate your man in public?
No.
So, okay. So thank you. I'm glad you said that. Because if I slapped you, Aaron, and said, I'm sorry, and then slapped you again and said, hey, bro, my fault, bro. Past trauma is crazy. And I slap you again, be like, man, I don't even know what's going on. Are you going to go off of what I'm saying or the actions? So well, you telling me about a book about what she's saying is not matching her actions. That's what I'm holding her accountable for her actions.
True. But let me rebuttal that.
Go ahead.
I'll rebuttal that with, if you've ever been to therapy, sometimes you have to, if you've ever been to therapy, sometimes you have to. You speak out on the things that you've received from people. And then you speak out on the things that you felt about people. It ain't all great.
Right.
It's not all great. So is it like taking him down? Or if you read the book, is it actually bigging him up? Because in the book, she actually bigs him up, saying that literally he's taken her out of the dark places in her life that she thought that was marriage and was love, and that wasn't reality. And that's what I'm saying. In the court of public opinion, and again,
she's creating this public opinion, though. This isn't like we asking for this. She's doing this.
Is that not how you sell a book? What book do you know that ever came out? What book or movie?
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
No, that don't count.
There's a trillion books out there that you ain't seen one commercial for.
That don't count.
What are you talking about?
These are celebrities that got to sell a book, bro. There's differences. And to her defense as well, let's just say, for example, any celebrity that you love, Jay-Z wrote a book, right? What if Jay-Z wrote a book and in that book, the first thing that he said, somebody said, hey, I got a son. He looked just like you. And I had to deal with that for many years. How long have we heard that rumor that he's had a son? And we saw the pictures.
Facts.
He would be selling the book. But in the book, he'd be like, I went through that trial and tribulation with my wife.
So that's why he cheated on her then.
With Andy had cheated on her before, and so on and so forth. That's selling the book. I'm not saying that. Well, Antonio, we got to be real, bro. Controversy sells.
Correct.
It is what it is.
But you can do controversy without, if you're selling me based off of a marriage or relationship in the book, that's not what I'm seeing.
But who said that she was doing that? Who said that she was doing that?
You said the book was that.
No, I'm saying that in the book, I learned a lot about marriage and how to communicate with your partner.
Correct. But I haven't heard her in one interview say this stuff.
That's why the legs of the book wins.
All I hear is disrespecting her husband every time.
Is it disrespect?
All right.
Is it disrespect?
Hey, A Square Podcast, we have a new member in the F-Boy category now. It's a new member, bro.
No, hey, don't do that.
It's my co-host, bro. He's got to go in the category, bro. This dude is wildin'.
I'm just saying, before we get to judging, sometimes we got to do some deep diving. And I'm talking, and when I say deep dive, let's deep dive into Diddy. Pause.
Yeah, you got Stockholm Syndrome. So now let me hear how Diddy's wrong in this.
No.
And Cass, Diddy's the victim and Cassie's at fault. Let me hear that from DJ. No. That's what he's about to tell you.
All right. Y'all want my, opinion?
Do I got to give you 5 minutes or what? What you want?
No, I don't need 5 minutes.
Okay, say less. Go.
I'll take it like this.
No.
Diddy was sued by Cassie, for those of you who don't know, for $30+ million in a civil suit. She says that he basically was trafficking her, made her do drugs, hold guns for him, so on and so forth. He
sex
hung
scenes with other people there and
prostitutes, male prostitutes, so on and so forth.
Shave her head, yeah. All this stuff.
Hey, he hung Wale over a balcony. That came out today. He hung Wale over a balcony. This shit crazy. I'm not saying that she's wrong, and I'm not saying that he's wrong. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Here's what I will say. I will say this. I don't like when people do only civil suits. That's what I'll say. If a person has done you wrong physically, mentally, emotionally, however it is, I think that's criminal. I think that whatever your statutes of limitations is, whatever your NDA ends, whatever it is, I think that should be taken up as criminal. However you want to write it how you want to write it, bro. That's how I feel. It's criminal. On his defense, it's a lose-lose situation. It ain't no way to win. You can morally say, if somebody accused me of rape, I'm fighting that to the end. Till I die, I'm fighting that. I'm going to die on this ledge of saying I'm innocent. In the court of public opinion, in the businesses, you're done. Because of the allegations, you're done. In this particular situation, for him to settle, to me, does not write him off as guilty. That writes him off as your attorney said, hey, you want to go to court? Let me rephrase that. You want to go to jail? You want to go home? Settle, or we gonna go to court, and you know how that's gonna go. And so, I don't like that, but I've dealt with that in my own, not that particular situation, but I've been to court, and they said, "Hey, if it's a traffic violation, hey, you what you don't want to do is go to jury. You don't want to have a jury." So, I hate the court of public opinion, but it is a real thing.
So I do understand what you're saying, right? I agree with that. I also think you're speaking from a person who is possibly innocent.
Mm.
Now, let me give the opinion or the side of he is guilty. That 30 million, he probably wrote that in his 19 hours. He wrote that.
Yeah. Back.
To him, that's an easy squeeze, because you know why? He's a billionaire. So first off, more money would have been gone. Right. And did you see, like, it was a dissertation of 30 things that she was accusing him
that's
of.
That's true. Yeah.
More would have came out. So to me, that 30 million sign off was hush money. All right, here your money, be quiet. Because I don't want more to come out. I don't want somebody else to come up. That's the issue that I have. So I 100% agree with you when you say, I understand the financial part, but this is criminal, bro. Get this dude off of the streets.
We will never know if it's true, because it was never filed criminally.
Because it ain't criminal. Or if somebody else come forward. And first off, we're not saying
it ain't over.
And we're not saying we don't want this to happen to Diddy.
Yeah.
If it happens and Diddy did it, get him off of the streets.
I 1,000,000% agree with you on that. I'm just simply saying that once you're accused of something like this, Antonio, even at the minor level, you're guilty. You are guilty. Even if you win, you're guilty. You but can't.
Is it about public opinion or is it about you? I don't care what somebody else thinks of me. If I get accused of rape, I'll sell this house today.
You say that as a person who is you right now. You're not saying that as a person that's in an industry.
No, I'm saying that as an innocent person. It doesn't matter. That's what I'm saying. It is.
I agree. But did Jonathan Majors do the same thing? Hey, I didn't do that shit.
Right.
All the evidence
is clear off, though.
I know that. But he's guilty.
He's not.
He is. What are you talking about?
He's not
that,
to me.
Fuck F you. You ain't shit. I'm saying to the real bro, to Marvel, he's guilty. You ain't playing in no more movies.
Right.
To the Army, you ain't getting no more commercials. Mm-hmm. How much money do you think he lost off the allegations?
I don't know, but the allegations are already out.
That is my point. So
if the allegations are already out, why am I paying $30 million then?
Because the situation goes, the longer the proceedings go, the more. You already took the L.
Did you forget that this happened since he paid the $30 million? Did you forget in your head?
For me?
You. When you heard this and he paid $30 million, do you still remember that?
Well, first of all, number one, we don't know if he did a $30 million or not. That's number
fault.
One.
$300 million, my fault.
Because she had previously, which people never go into depth about whatever. She had previously asked for $18 million.
That's also going to say 15. Yeah,
for his for the contributions and musically and all this
licenses
type of stuff
and all that stuff. Yeah,
but you know that
she had a 10-album deal, bro. What?
And only made one song.
How?
Only made one song. Bro.
Trash.
It's me and you.
Trash.
We saw her dance in a studio alone.
Hey, and that's the only thing. Hey, that's on fire though.
It is fire. Hey, that's me and fire. You was fire. But that's at the fire. Same time, he could have been like this a long time ago, but he was like, nah, why would I give you that? When I'm just saying there are snakes in the sea is what I'm saying. That doesn't necessarily mean everybody is guilty.
But how is she? So I'm saying, but you're saying it like she's the snake. He's the snake, bro.
She might, but what? Why? She might be the snake, bro.
So, if Diddy wrote a book and said, I really didn't do that shit, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I can, you good. That's what that would happen.
No. I would say, first of all, that never happened because that would never sell. That doesn't sell, Antonio.
He can talk about Tupac.
Tupac, they said Tupac got a kid right now. I just looked at that kid. That's his child, bro.
That's crazy.
I don't care what nobody say.
That's funny.
If Tupac had a kid with Tupac, that's his kid, bro.
That's wild, bro.
I'm just saying, in the court of public opinion, it's guilty. Jonathan Majors won't never recover from this. I'm sorry. He won't. Bro, it just is what it is.
OJ killed two people. What are you talking about?
And he's on
a sports show every week, bro.
And it's the best. No, but it ain't first take. It's the best. Hey, and he be cooking too, bro. I never thought OJ would know so much about sports until I seen this. He know about sports, and when he said dead ball, that was a dead ball right there. I said, yeah, it is. Only thing I'm saying is, allegations doesn't necessarily mean everybody is guilty. That's not my argument.
So I agree with that. Paying somebody off don't mean that you're innocent, bro.
No, and that's true. But sometimes your attorneys will do what's in best. They will say this is the best case, bro. Because if you don't do this, now we're going a year, and you will not recover. She's only asking for civil.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
I mean, but then again, if that makes her happy, I'm cool with that.
No,
as a civilian, if you know have a known rapist
I'm fighting as a civilian.
Get him off the street.
I agree. Get him off the street, bro.
You can do both. Why?
I agree.
You can do criminal and civil. I don't understand. She could have got him out of here and got $30 million.
And that's my point. Why not do both?
You can do both.
So basically, to me, it's like you want the money. So the money, now you good. So yeah, why isn't the energy shifted towards?
And it seemed like, okay, you paid her. Now it feel like you could do it again. I got another $30 million in the tuck.
So
for somebody else.
So that's this wild. Is my situation, Antonio. Like, why not bury him?
I'm with you.
That's my situation. I mean, it's take that or take that.
No, it's not. I'm not taking nothing.
Listen,
hey, retainer.
Hey, facts.
Lawyer. Quick.
I got a retainer.
Can't do it.
It ain't all that, but he got some friends.
Can't do it. Hey.
He got friends. If I need to put some more money on the books, I got to do it, bro.
Can't do it, bro. Can't do it.
Hey,
bro.
Moral of the story, man. If you walk in the room, you see a whole bunch of girls, call a whole bunch of girls to be in the room with you to say he ain't do that shit.
I don't like it, man. But I said, DJ, that's all I got.
Yeah,
man.
I think we had a great pod today. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. A-SquarePodcast.com. Everybody who commented, please subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, do it. Shoot us some messages. And Joe, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story. We sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. Thank you. Antonio, what do you always tell the people before we get up out of here, man?
I want you guys to be kind to each other, just like Joe said, you know, during these holiday times. Understanding is probably one of the most difficult things. It ain't money, bro. It's understanding. So understand, even if you got to see a nut bull for Thanksgiving and they the crackhead of the crackhead, bro. Just nod them, pound them up, see if they want a plate, and then keep it moving, bro. But, you know, be kind to people. And then please, definitely, keep your shoes by your feet, bro. And for Joe Ingles' son, like I said, I don't know if we're going to split this up into two, but my man's son's name is Jackson Royce Ingles, man. So shout out to him as well, man. So that's it, DJ.
I appreciate everybody out there. If you got your greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes, hogs, mogs, all that, whatever y'all got, bro.
What is a mog?
I have no idea. What, man, people eat everything.
Black people. No, it ain't people. It's black people, bro.
Hey,
ain't no white person ever ate a mog.
I don't even know what that mog
is. That's what I'm saying, bro. It's holy.
But you name it. Enjoy your holiday, man, and we'll be back with you guys, man. This is the A-Square Podcast, and we are out of here, y'all. Peace and blessings. Peace and love. Thank you all. God bless, and good night.